Checking in again with Rick Doan of Interfaith Social Services here in Quincy for an update on how they're managing during the pandemic and also what they're looking forward to in the next couple of months. Hey, Rick, nice to see you again.
Good to see you too, Joe. Good to have a break from a mask for a couple minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. And I see things have not slowed down in the background there. The food pantry is abuzz with activity.
It is, especially this month. Our numbers have doubled since October began. Pretty much since that extra $300 of unemployment ran out, we have seen double the number of clients coming in. Luckily, we got great volunteers from Quincy and other communities here serving our clients to keep up with demand.
So double the number, how many does that mean?
We're serving at least 50 households a day, sometimes as high as over 100 households a day coming through the food pantry. And that's the equivalent of, you know, each month, tens of thousands of pounds of food that we're distributing. And luckily we're able to keep up, but, you know, now our model, it's all contactless. So when clients come to the food pantry, they don't get out of the car. They stay in their car. We check them in at the car, bring the groceries to the car. So it can create some traffic backups. That's one of the biggest problems we've been dealing with. As traffic backs up onto Adams Street. We've been working with the city on that, trying to make sure we have a good traffic flow so that people can still get through and it doesn't cause too many problems. But it's an emergency, it's a crisis, and we're trying to keep up.
Yeah, are the folks that you're seeing a lot of new faces or folks that are just still struggling?
New faces and faces we haven't seen in years and years. People who come back and it's been 12 years since they were here. It's been 7-8 years since they needed the food pantry. And luckily we're here to help them. Luckily they remember where they could go when they're in need. But yeah, each day we're registering many new clients.
Has it changed at all since school kind of went back in session, Rick?
Well, the biggest problems for us since school went back in session was the upheaval in volunteers. It was like we keep having these waves of we get all of our volunteer shifts staffed and full. And then, you know, everybody goes back to school. They go back to jobs. They stop, you know, transitioning away from working from home. And we lose a bunch of volunteers and we have to recruit new people. And then now this year, we actually do have some snowbirds. You know, this last year, everybody kind of came back, hunkered down in Massachusetts. Now we have volunteers who are heading to Florida to stay. And so it's another round of losing some volunteers where we'll need to recruit more, especially dual lingual volunteers who speak Chinese. That's one of our biggest needs right now. We want to serve everybody in Quincy well. So we want to make sure that every day we have enough volunteers to help provide translation for our clients.
Okay. As you know, the ban on evictions expired, I think it's October 17th. So have you seen an increase due to that, do you think?
Most definitely.
Really?
Not just through our food pantry, but we have our housing assistance program. And, you know, in the week or two preceding that, the calls started picking up and now the calls are coming in. Whereas when the eviction ban was in place, we were only getting a couple calls a week. From people. And now they have definitely picked up to regular rates of calls, and we're expecting it to be even higher.
Of course, now there's predictions of colder weather, maybe some snow. So folks are going to start to have to turn on their heat, and that's going to lead to some more financial strain, I'm sure.
It is. And luckily, you know, we all partner here in Quincy between Interfaith Social Services, Salvation Army, QCAP, Germantown. You know, it is a great community of emergency food providers, and we're all working together to meet the needs of the people here in Quincy and throughout the South Shore.
Yeah. How's the food supply? I know that you are getting most of it from the Greater Boston Food Bank right now. Is that still the case?
Half of it. Okay. Half of our food comes from the food bank. Half of our food comes from rescue. And we've had to expand our reach for food rescue as the pandemic's grown because we needed more food. Also, unique sources of food. So Blue Cross Blue Shield here in Quincy, instead of laying off their cafeteria workers, because their workers aren't in the office, they are committed to keeping those people, giving employment to those individuals. So they started making meals for the food pantry. So now our food pantry, Salvation Army, and QCAP are distributing amazing meal packages. They go through, they get all the things together somebody would need to make a meal for a family. Chicken tiki masala, raviolis, bread bowls, everything they need. They put it in a bag and we give it to the client with the recipe, kind of Blue Apron style. It's just creative. It's neat to see the community rallying for these needs to help, you know, amongst all the different needs that exist.
Well, that's a great story. I had not heard that before. Nice to be able to offer that service, I'm sure, for families, especially who are pressed for time and, you know, and want something to throw together really quickly. That makes life a little easier.
Well, some variety, too. It's nice. People love it.
Yeah. How did your fresh produce drive go this year? It's probably about over by now.
Well, we're always driving for food, you know. So, but the Plant Grow Share program, it was actually one of the most successful years. We had, on a daily basis, people walking in with produce from their garden, especially Howe's Neck Congregational Church. Shout out to them. Great garden over there. They've been doing an awesome job bringing in lots of fresh produce. So it's great to be able to give that right out to our clients.
Well, nice. Probably a lot more people were home and could tend to a home backyard garden than before.
Yeah.
We just finished up with Halloween, and I know you couldn't distribute your costumes like you normally do, but that didn't stop you from doing something, right?
No, you know, we knew that, especially now, kids need that little bit of joy. And Halloween, whether people feel comfortable having their kids going trick-or-treating or not, you know, that's an individual decision people need to make.
But we wanted to make sure kids didn't miss out on that. So we came up this year, we talked to some of our donors, Stop and Shop donated little plastic buckets. They coordinated with a farmer who donated about 500 pumpkins. And we got together pumpkin carving kits and face paint and little toys and Dracula teeth and the fun things that go along with Halloween, so that all of the kids 12 and under would get a boo bucket. That's what we called it, was a boo bucket. And that went out to the kids that we served all the way up to Halloween. So we distributed about 500 of those.
Oh, that's great. You know, like you said, kids need just a little bit of fun during this time, especially.
Yeah, it's the least. And that's part of our services. You know, we were founded to provide assistance to children and families in need. And this is one of the ways we're still doing it.
Yeah, of course, just ahead now is the holidays, and I know that that is tops on your mind right now, Rick.
Yeah, you know, we serve every year at least 600 children. We provide them with holiday gifts. This year, we're expecting a record-setting number of children. We've already registered more than ever up to this point. So we are going to need the community's help to purchase gifts and bring them to us so we can distribute them to our clients. You know, and most nonprofits would say, we need financial donations, which we do. But in this case, for this program, the easiest thing that people can do is go to our website. They let us know how many children they'd like to adopt. We send them the first names and gift ideas for those kids. People purchase those gifts and bring them into us. And then we don't have to go through and try to match things up with the kids. It's already labeled. It can come in. We can check it, verify, and then get it out to a client. So that's one of the big things we really need the community's help with this year, is registering for that.
Okay.
And people can order online too. Have the gifts shipped right to their house. Put those orders together and bring them in. We are asking people not to ship gifts to us because we don't have the manpower to open up all those boxes. It's a lot of Amazon boxes.
Sure, and you really wouldn't know where they would be directed to anyway, right?
Exactly. And then it's sorting it and trying to figure out who it should go to. So we ask people to send them to their houses.
Okay, and it's called Help for the Holidays. Are there dates that folks should be aware of for that, Rick?
Well, I mean, ideally, we're already giving out the assignments, and we know people really want to have it by Black Friday. And so that's what we're working on. As soon as people register, trying to get assignments out to them as soon as possible.
Okay. And you'll try and turn it around, I'm sure, as quickly as possible. So they can physically bring it right to your Adams Street Center?
We are going to have, yeah, we accept donations at any time right now. The only thing we're not taking donations is no furniture, no large electronics, and really no car seats or high chairs. Other than that, anything for our thrift shop. Our thrift shop is open. We have great inventory in there. And so people can bring those donations, food donations, any other kind of thing they can drop off. But for the holidays, we are going to set up an appointment schedule for people to drop off those donations, which we've moved to that model for our thrift shop. So when people want to bring in donations for the thrift shop, they either call us or go to the website to schedule an appointment, just so we can maintain social distance and not have too many people here at the same time.
Okay, yeah, I know recently you were looking for more cleaning supplies, PPE, things of that nature. How is that?
We can never have enough of these. these wipes, you know, we're constantly wiping down the building, trying to keep everybody safe. We have professional cleaning, disinfecting of the building with the machines that go through. So just trying to make sure that our facilities are safe for our customers, clients, volunteers, and staff.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your signature event every year, Rick. It's Feed the Hungry, and normally, what, like 500-600 people show up?
Before we ever even get to that, we have Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving, we've already registered just under 1,000 households.
Okay.
So that Saturday before Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing our distribution. Those are food pantry clients, and we are bracing for quite a day of distribution to help all those clients.
So we'll have that Thursday, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And then shortly after Thanksgiving, that next Friday is our gala, like you mentioned. And it is going to be online. It's going to be fun. It's going to be brief. And we need it. We need it to bring in the funding to sustain our programs. So normally we'd have, welcome hundreds and hundreds of guests at Granite Links, and we'd have restaurants doing tastings. This year, we are doing a recipe book. So our restaurant partners that have been working with us for years, so Townsend, Fuji at West of Chestnut, Granite Links, some great partners, Wahlberg's, they've put together exclusive recipes from their restaurants that people can actually prepare at home. And this is a way that we're encouraging people to support those businesses, raise awareness for the restaurants that have really been hurting so much. And so we'll be sending that recipe book out. We will be doing games as part of our gala. So premium level ticket holders will get game pieces in the mail.
Oh.
And then the first half hour of the gala is just giveaways. We're going to be spinning wheels and drawing chances, and everybody gets bin-in gift cards if they're a premium level ticket purchaser. So trying to make it fun, and then going into a program to talk about how we've been impacted and what's been going on and raise a little bit more money. And we have some great silent auction packages from local chefs, dine around packages, some great transformations, house transformations. It's going to be good.
Okay, so is that going on right now, the auction?
The auction is not launched yet. It'll launch as we get closer. So in late November, that auction will launch in preparation for the gala in early December.
Okay, and exactly when and what time for the gala?
So the gala is going to be, like I said, it's virtual. It is going to be on Friday, December 4th. And people can go to our website to register, and there's different levels of tickets, but we encourage premium level so that people can play the games.
All right. And what time is that, Rick?
It is at 6:30.
Okay.
6:30, I believe. I don't have an invitation in front of me, Joe. You caught me unprepared.
All right. Okay. That's all right. I'm sure folks can get all the information there.
Because, it's all on the website.
Yeah. Because this event really you depend on. I know. How much does it typically raise in a normal year?
This event normally it raises about a third of our entire funding for the year.
Yeah.
So it is extremely important. We have been so blessed. So many local businesses have already stepped up to sponsor the event. And we're trying to give them the visibility they deserve on social media and email, and helping let people know who in our community is supporting, you know, their neighbors in need in this crisis.
Yeah, and it's called Feed the Hungry. So is it exclusively for your food pantry?
Well, what we say is people are hungry for more than just food.
Okay.
They are hungry for food, for mental health counseling, for housing. So this fundraiser supports all of our programs.
Okay. Speaking of counseling, I know it was virtual. Is that still the case?
It still is for the majority of our clients. We have some limited, very limited availability for in-person sessions. But for virtually all of our clients, it's through Zoom or it's over the phone. And we definitely still have openings. We encourage people, if you are suffering emotionally, psychologically, reach out. Don't hesitate.
Go to our website. You can read bios about our therapists, and also just call us and we'll get you in touch with one of our therapists within a few days.
Yeah. Curious, Rick, are you waiting for the federal stimulus package to come through? Would that benefit you at all at Interfaith?
Who knows? The trickle down.
Okay.
You know, right now we are benefiting a little bit from USDA meals, that we have some USDA food coming in. And then the CARES Act, we have been allocated some funding, but it hasn't made it to us yet.
I see.
So it's trying to get that funding to us.
So we're working on it.
Okay. All right. InterfaithSocialServices.org. And I know you're all over social media too, right?
Yeah. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We're there. You Google us, you're going to find Interfaith Social Services. And we're here to help everybody.
All right. Anything else we should touch on today?
You know, the same thing I'm going to say, I've said it before, I'll always say it, is thank you. You know, to the city of Quincy has been amazing since before. We've been here for over 70 years. We were founded in the midst of a crisis after World War II. Thousands of people were losing their jobs. Families were in, were in upheaval. 70 years later, unemployment rates are skyrocketing. Families are struggling. And that's why we're here. We're here to help. And I just want to say thank you, because the people of Quincy have been amazingly generous with their time, with resources. It's the neighborhood food drives. It's wonderful to operate our organization here in the city.
All right. It's a great way to wrap it up, I think. And hopefully next time we chat, it can be in person, Rick.
I hope so, Joe. If not, I'm always happy to chat, especially we can have our wonderful volunteers and our food pantry in operation right behind me.
Yep, they're the real heroes here, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Our volunteers are the best in the world.
Thanks so much, Rick. Be well.
All right. Thanks, Joe.